Sorry to push you out of the way there. I'm Jack Roach. I have to apologize. I have a bit of a cold. If you can't hear me, just let me know. But I'm going to talk to you today about mapping a locus conferring resistance, Xanthomonas fragare, an octopoid strawberry. And I'm a master's student of Dr. Vance Whitaker at the University of Florida. So to begin with, the pathogen I work with is Xanthomonas fragare that causes a disease called angular leaf spot, which I'll call ALS, and some people call bald. The pathogen is dispersed by rain or overhead irrigation, both of which we have a lot of in Florida, and has been formally described in most of the strawberry-producing countries in the world, with the notable absence of China. It has been eradicated from a lot of these countries, however, it is still a big problem in the U.S. So like I said, in Florida, we use a lot of overhead irrigation. This spreads the pathogen and can cause epidemic ALS when conditions are right. We use overhead irrigation for 10 days following planting for plant establishment, and then also for freeze protection in the winter. So the symptoms of ALS include water-soaked translucent lesions. You can see here on the left these water-soaking kind of shiny lesions. And then you see here on the right the translucence. If you can pick up a leaf and look at it, the sun through the leaf and there's light shining through like a window pane, you can be pretty sure you have ALS. When in years with conditions that are conducive to disease development, these lesions will coalesce and become necrotic, causing a tattered leaf appearance, as you see here. And you can imagine in a field full of diseased plants just how bad that can be. This image shows a little bit of the nursery effect with ALS. These are the same cultivar planted at the same time. However, those in the foreground come from a different nursery source than those in the background, and this gives a good indication of what it looks like in the field. ALS can also affect the fruit calyx, causing a black cap, which causes a bit of a marketable yield loss, as consumers don't typically want to purchase fruit that looks like this. But as far as we know, the fruit itself is not affected by the pathogen. So given the defoliation and the marketable yield loss, there's perhaps up to 8% total marketable yield loss, shown by Pam Roberts in the 1990s in a Florida production system. There are chemical control methods and other methods, however, these are imperfect and have been shown that they don't actually protect yield all the time. And because of this, the growers don't always use the chemical control methods. And so because I am a student of breeding, and I am really interested in these things, I believe that resistant cultivars are the optimal method for prevention and control of ALS epidemics. To date, there have been no publicly available cultivars that have been shown to be resistant. However, in the early 2000s, the John Moss Group at the USDA released resistant accessions US 4808 and US 4809. For breeding purposes. Andrew Jamieson up in Nova Scotia, who is a co-author on this project, began introgression in 2003 with both of these resistant sources. And so the objectives of my program, or of my project, were to introgress resistance into University of Florida germplasm, to investigate the genetic architecture of resistance, and to develop genetic markers for microresistant seedling selection. Briefly, the methods I used, we constructed two full subfamilies per year, and then we had 2 years of field trials for a total of 4 full subfamilies, and then we did SNP genotyping and QTL analysis to identify a major QTL. So you just saw this slide a half an hour ago in Sujit's talk. This is the beginning of the population that we used in 2013. The K parents, KOA17 and K1210, are advanced selections from Andrew Jamieson's program. He was kind enough to cross these to Strawberry Festival, which is a Florida cultivar that's very widely grown, and give us the seeds. These seeds are the families 1377 and 1378, which we grew in the field in replicated field trials in 2013. From these families, after phenotyping for resistance and for selection based on horticultural and fruit quality traits, we made resistant selections, and we crossed these to Advanced Selection 112834 and Florida 127, which is a new and really delicious Florida cultivar, to construct families 14100 and 14101, which were in the field in 2014. This is an image of the field trial in 2013. 2014 it looked just the same, only it was a little bigger. I have 8 raised beds, 2 plant rows per bed on 15-inch planters. These 8 beds were split into 4 blocks, so 2 neighboring beds for 1 block. In strawberry, it's a clonally propagated crop, so our seedlings we propagated in a summer nursery in Center, Colorado. The propagules were sent to our field trial in Florida and planted in October in the randomized complete block design with up to 4 replications per progeny genotype. We also included all of the parents and a bunch of other cultivars as checks and had up to 8 replications per each parent. So inoculation, it's kind of interesting to me that a population segregating for resistance to ALS will actually arrive at the field trial showing symptoms of ALS. Because of this, I was able to make local isolates on the actual population itself. These isolates I confirmed with Pamrobert's PCR primers to make sure it's the correct species. Then I grew them up on Wilbrink's media until they were pure cultures. I diluted the 6 isolates to a final concentration of 10 to the 6 CFUs per milliliter, inoculated plants until runoff in the field at about dusk. And then the day following inoculation, actually the week following inoculation, I used copious overhead irrigation to increase relative humidity and also to help spread the pathogen. Beginning 1 month after inoculation, I performed a rating. I did this twice per season with at least 3 weeks between the 2 ratings. This was done on a percent disease leaf area basis with 5% increments. So basically, I estimated the percentage of the leaf that was covered with lesions. I was able to calculate a clonal mean score, so each progeny genotype had a score, and this I put into a frequency distribution. And as you can see, it's a bimodal distribution with an anti-mode, in this case about 12%. Anything to the left we considered resistant, and anything to the right we considered susceptible. Then using these clonal means, we calculated broad sense heritability and did a chi-square analysis for a difference from a hypothesized 1-to-1 segregation ratio that would indicate Mendelian inheritance. Then also using these frequency distributions, we were able to perform selective genotyping. To do this, we took individuals that were highly resistant and highly susceptible and submitted them to Affymetrix for genotyping with the iStrong 90 Axiom SNP array that Stigy talked about a half an hour ago. We then performed QTL analysis with FlexQTL using many independent runs and replications and using the linkage group constructed by Stigy Verma and Eric Vandeweg. The QTL that I found, I was able to design high-resolution melting markers for validation in the next generation of the 2014 population. So my results, broad sense heritability was at least 0.7 in all 4 families. Chi-square analysis was not significant in any of the 4 families, suggesting that the 1-to-1 segregation ratio is, we can't reject it. In 2013, we had pretty good separation between resistant and susceptible individuals, with the disease scores up to 34% of the leaf area covered in both families. In 2014, we had a little bit less disease. However, this is because I waited a month longer in 2014 so we can make selections based on fruit quality and horticultural characteristics. FlexQTL analysis, we found decisive evidence for the existence of 1 major QTL on linkage group 6D. And this QTL was predicted in every single FlexQTL run that I did with many different iterations and parameters. So this slide is kind of the crux of my argument today. Excuse me. This is just an Excel sheet that I've drawn up to look like a bit of a genetic map. If you look on the top, anything that's blue is a SNP marker. Is a SNP genotype that would be homozygous at the SNP locus, and anything that's tan is heterozygous. In the first row, we have the actual SNP probes. The second and third row, we have the vesca-vesca and vesca-bracteata physical map locations. And then in this bottom row, we have the linkage group 6D genetic map that we used for QTL analysis. Now these are the actual SNP diplotypes. Anything here is a resistant progeny, and anything on the bottom is a susceptible progeny, and this is just for family 1377 for the ones we sent for SNP genotyping. You can see that there is a very obvious difference between the SNP diplotypes of resistant individuals compared to the SNP diplotypes of susceptible individuals. Now, it just so happens in this case, I didn't show it here, but Strawberry Festival, which is one of the parents used in this specific cross, was homozygous at all these locations, so this is effectively haplotypes. And you can see we have two recombination breakpoints, as anything to the left of these breakpoints are haplotypes associated with susceptibility, and anything to the right are haplotypes associated with resistance. We also have another recombination breakpoint where the inverse is true, anything to the right is associated with susceptibility. Now, using these recombination breakpoints, we're able to delimit the QTL to 33.1 to 33.6 megabase pairs in the Vesca-Vesca in family 1377. And in family 1378, we found the very similar QTL with a little bit wider region, I guess. That was delimited at 32.7 to 33.7 megabase pairs in the Vesca-Vesca version 1.1. I said I also did high resolution melting. This top marker is based on a SNP, was developed with the Affymetrix SNP array development. Anything that's blue was susceptible, and anything that was red was resistant at least 90% of the time, so 90% coherence with the phenotype. However, this marker was upstream of the region, not actually within the QTL. It turns out high resolution melting in an ALA octoplate is a pretty interesting thing to do. And to find markers that work, I feel kind of good about that. Now, I made another marker with a novel SNP that I was able to find. In family 14101, anything that's blue was susceptible, anything that's red resistant 94% of the time. And like I said, in an ALA octoplate, high resolution melting is really interesting. In family 14100, anything that's yellow or blue was resistant, anything that's green, red, or purple was susceptible. And these melt curves associated with their phenotypes 98% of the time in this case. So based on our QTL analysis and our validation with the HRM and the next generation population, we're announcing the Fragaria ananassa resistance Xanthomonas fragaria 1 resistance locus. It is delimited at 32.7 to 33.7 megabase pairs in Fragaria vesca version 1.1 linkage group 6. And right now we're considering it to be the same resistance locus in both sources of resistance. We have developed a few genetic markers for marker-assisted seedling selection, and we have more in development. And we've also made progress towards the release of resistant cultivars, with 7 resistant selections being made this past season that will be in trials for further evaluation. With that, I'd like to thank my co-authors, Sujit Verma, Natalia Perez, Andrew Jameson, Eric Vendovic, Nala Basile, Dr. Sanghi Lee and Vance Whitaker, and then all the people in our Strawberry Lab.
Any questions? Yes, we have time for one question. I have a question. What kind of markers are you looking to develop that are breeder friendly at this locus?
So
you're happy with HRM? What do you think?
The question is what kind of markers we're using. We have an HRM machine. It works very nicely, so we have some HRM markers. We're also working with SSRs for fine mapping, and we hope to develop a codominant marker that we can use in our HRM machine that's not necessarily HRM. So anything with an indole or something like that.
Thank you, Jack.